Namaste. This is Mia Johnson with Out of the Tangled Web, Mind Mapping with Mia. I'm going to pick up my discussion from last week just to clear up a few points. We're pretty much, between now and the holidays, going to be covering the four agreements. We're going to be talking about it. Probably by my next show, we're going to have a number that you can call in if you have a question. I'm also offering discounted readings on the Spiritual Guidance Network, and I gave you that information before, but once again, it is, you know, spiritualguidance.proboards.com, and you just /board/37/Mia-Johnson-out-tangled. I think that's as far as we got. But if you have any problem, you can always reach me at Mia@tangledweb. Okay, so let's go back just real briefly and go over what I talked about last week. And because I think it got kind of mixed into a bunch of, I told you, I'm a storyteller. You know, people like that. I go into a story, but the domestication of humans, that's what Don Miguel Ruiz calls it. And basically what it means, and we are all domesticated. I am not exempt, trust me. No one is. We are born and we don't have any judgment. We get taught judgment by our parents, by our teachers, by our siblings, by the people we come in contact with. This is good. That is bad. You're a good girl if you do this. You're a bad girl if you don't. If, you know, this is pretty. This is our idea of what's pretty. This is ugly. And yet, you have to understand that everybody's perception of good and bad, pretty and ugly, is based upon where they and the culture that they were brought up in. But never doubt for a second that every day of your life, you are being domesticated. Every time someone gives you a rule and tells you, this is the way we want to have it done. And the only way that it can become a rule to you is if you agree to it. So, again, domestication of humans just means that we've listened all our lives to what people have told us is acceptable, not acceptable, good, bad, and we have created our dream. Unfortunately, because after a while, we have all this judgment going on. We create a judge in our head. So after a while, we don't need other people to tell us what's wrong with us. We tell ourselves. And by the same token, once you create a judge, you must therefore create a victim, because somebody has to be accountable for what the judge is saying. So we create our victim. It's the way of life, you know. But you must understand that at any point in your life, if you don't like the way it's going, you can stand up and you can say, you know what, this is not the way the story ends. And then you do something different. I'm going to start with the first agreement, but I just wanted to read you something first. It said, every time you are tempted to react in the same old way, ask if you want to be a prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. And that was Deepak Chopra who said that. Now, let's go with the first agreement, because, again, I encourage all of you to buy this book. Or, you know, if you can't afford to buy it, I got a copy of it, I think, for $4 on eBay and free shipping. But, you know, that's I see something that catches my interest, and I immediately order it and read it. I'm waiting for, you know, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man by Steve Harvey. I think I paid $5 for it. I'm waiting for it to come, but I want to read it. So anyway, let's start with the first agreement. The four agreements. The first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. The first agreement is the most important one, and it's also the most difficult one to honor. But if you can, it will enable you to transcend the just a little higher the level that you are in your spiritual development. The first agreement to be impeccable with your word, it sounds very simple, but it is very powerful. Why your word? Well, your word is the power that you have to create. In Christianity, they say the word is the gift that comes directly from God. The Gospel of John in the Bible, speaking of the creation of the universe, says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word is God. Through the word, you express your creative power. It is through the word that you manifest everything. Now, again, I'm going to just, you know, briefly, I had a situation a few years ago where I was in court trying to get custody of my grandchildren, and the lawyer just had a major attitude towards me, you know, and like the way she talked to me, I said to her, do you know what I do for a living? Because, I mean, for 20 years, I was a cognitive behavioral therapist that worked with children in foster care and child protective services and sexually abused and juvenile probation. And, you know, I understand children, you know, they'll have a good life. Okay. But when I said to her, I said, do you know what I do? She says, oh, I've seen your website. And I went, what's wrong with my website? She was nothing. And I said to her, okay, you have to remember that I am a neurolinguistic, and therefore I can read in your voice by what you're saying. You have a problem with my website. What is it? Well, it took about two more go-arounds, and finally she said to me, do you really think you're psychic? And I said, what? She said, do you really think you're psychic? And I said to her, where on my website does it say anything about me being psychic? I said, I'm an empath. I said, I was naturally born that way. I feel what other people feel, but I can't predict the future. You know, when I do readings for people, I do readings based on the emotions that they are feeling and the emotions that are swirling around them like negative wizards around their head. I don't use tarot cards. I use psychological cards, I am cards, and things like that. And like I said, I am going to be offering discounted readings on the Spiritual Guidance Network, first 15 minutes for free. And then you can decide if you want to continue or not, and then we just go through PayPal and we continue. But let me get back to the first agreement. We are all psychic. I mean, I didn't have this argument with this female lawyer. I was thinking to myself, do you not know what neurolinguistic means? You know? And she didn't, of course. And she's a lawyer. Okay, that's all right. It was Arkansas. What can I say? But I laughed because I said, in a normal situation, if we weren't in such a high-stress situation, I would have said to her, well, you're psychic. Everybody's psychic. It's just the degree to which you develop your psychic. I said, being psychic was how people survived in the old and, you know, before we had, like, alarms that came over our cell phones and over our TVs and electronics and everything. I said, you know, having that instinct, that, you know, intuition. I said, intuition is a huge part of everybody's life. I said, if people would listen to their intuition a little more and their ego a little less, they would be able to accomplish and avoid so many things. So everyone can create magic. You create magic by the words that you use. Through the words, you express your creative power. It's through the words that you use that you manifest everything, regardless of what language you speak. Your intent comes through the word. What you dream, what you feel, what you really are will all be manifested through the word. The word is a force. It's a power that you have to express and communicate to think and thereby create events in your life. You can speak what other animal on the planet can speak. Well, I think we've proven that, like, we can get chimpanzees, and I've seen a couple of dogs. I know that, I swear to God, their bark sounds like they're saying something. So I'm going to kind of skip over that one. But the truth is, and again, I want to emphasize this to you, human beings are the only animal on the face of the planet that when they make a mistake, they punish themselves over and over and over again for that mistake. And animals, like, you know what, if an animal does something wrong, it's like by the next day they don't remember. You know, they don't go, oh, well, you know, you didn't get the whatchamacallit and everything. Yet we do it with our children, with our spouses. You know, we're always bringing up the past. Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and I expected this. Okay, well, we won't get into expectations till later. But the thing that you have to understand is your ability, the most powerful tool that you have as a human, it's like a tool of magic. It's your ability to communicate. When I work with people, I worked with a young girl today, and she had a meltdown because she didn't listen to what people were saying to her, and she wanted what she wanted when she wanted it. That's not realistic. The world doesn't work that way. We have no control over the cards that the universe deals us. In other words, we have no control over anybody else or anything else or anything along those lines. But we do have control to how we react to things. And again, that's your magic, is how you react to things. You know, all the magic you possess is based on your word. It's pure magic. And misuse of your word, that means if you're using your word to hurt someone, or if you're using it to, you know, somehow be judgmental, then your word is like black magic. The word is so powerful, it can just change or destroy the lives of millions of people. Look at Hitler. Those were words, but look what happened. I'm a big history fan. I, you know, on like Saturdays and stuff, I watched the History Channel. I was watching a thing called Hunting for Hitler the other day. because they said 3 years after he was supposed to have committed suicide in his bunker, that he was seen living underground in Argentina. Well, that makes sense, because there was about 60,000 Germans in Argentina at the time of the war. So that would make sense that if he were going to hide someplace, he'd hide there. A lot of them did. Okay, but once again, he led people into a world and to doing atrocities and totally not understanding, you know, or not being accountable for the things that they did, all because he led them with fear. If you are true to your word, all over the world, humans destroy other human beings because they're afraid of each other. Hitler's word, based on a fear-generated belief and agreement, will be remembered for centuries. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they want to take the prison camp, Auschwitz, Bertenbergen, out of the history books as if it never happened. It happened. You can't, you know, it was an event. It changed the world. It changed the way people look at things. So how can you sit there and say it was a non-event in history? No, wrong. You know what? Watch a documentary sometimes, you know, and see the pile of shoes, like hundreds of thousands of shoes piled up because the shoes didn't get burned. You know, see the mass graves, see the, you know, just watch it. The human mind is a fertile ground where seeds are always being planted. As I speak to you right now, I'm planting seeds in your mind. I'm explaining to you kind of how mind mapping came about, the four agreements, being impeccable with your word. Once you've created a fear or doubt in someone else, it's like a spell, you know. Everybody's running around putting black spells on each other. I tell people all the time, you must really make an effort to take the negative wizards, the people in your life that bring negative energy to your life. You really have to take the negative wizards out of your life. It's not always the easiest thing to do, you know, because very often negative wizards are related to us or married to us, or they're our children or our parents, whatever. But we can take anybody else's opinion. There are 1,000,000 perspectives, but there's only one truth. Just because something is our perception of something does not mean that it's the truth. It means that it is our domestication and how we interpret something that happened. Can we change that? No, we can't change that. It's been going on since the beginning of time. That I used to tell parents when I did family counseling for children that had difficulty with the law. And like the parents would say, well, the grandparent would say, I don't want him to play video games that are violent, and I don't want him to listen to that kind of music and everything. And I said, okay, I understand your position. I said, when I worked in residential treatment, we always listened to the music first before the kids listened to the music, because some of the music was derogatory towards women, or it was, you know, just plain negativity. And we were not trying to teach them that. We were trying to teach them how to be functional in society. That's what we're all trying to teach ourselves and our children. So, again, you know, we believe other people's opinions, especially like the people of authority in our life. And the only way that you can teach or you can learn something is if somebody catches someone's attention. You know, when you listen to a teacher and the teacher's teaching a lesson, they capture your attention and you learn through repetition. That's how we all learn. Many people go their entire lives not questioning the scripts that they've been handed. We already went over this last week. I told you as early as at the age of 4, I was fighting against domestication. I was like, I don't agree with this. I didn't do that. I had nothing. So I'll tell you that story. First day of kindergarten, okay? I was 4 years old because my birthday is in October. And if you, you know, it used to be that if you were going to turn 5 sometime in the year, they would let you start at 4. So first day of school, we're all in a little vestibule, round vestibule, and we pick up the little bags of snacks and everything, and we're waiting. And two boys got into a scuffle, you know, as boys will do if you put them into a strange place. Remember, a lot of these children have never been anywhere but with their mothers at home. They didn't have a lot of daycare back then, or they didn't need it. Two boys got into a scuffle, and, you know, they kind of knocked things around, and my bag got knocked into the center of the room, and I reached in to grab my bag, and at that moment, the teacher came out, and she took everybody that she thought was in the center of the room, and she took them to the principal's office. Now, I'm 4, okay? There's about maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 other kids. And we go there, and the principal gives us a lecture, you know, about how to get along in school and how to follow rules and everything else. And then he said, you can go back to your class, you know, if you apologize. And I looked at the other people. They all apologized. And he looked at me, and I said, I didn't do anything. I said, why would I apologize for something I didn't do? And I was 4. You know, so I had to stay in the principal's office. At one point in time, I had to go to the ladies' room. And in order to get to the ladies' room, I had to walk past the kindergarten class. And the teacher, she grabbed my arm and she pulled me to the door, and everybody was drinking juice and having, I don't know, some kind of snack. And she said to me, look what you're missing by being stubborn. And I looked at her, and in all my 4-year-old grandeur, I said to her, I don't care what you say to me. I said, I am never going to say I did something that I didn't do. And I huffed back to the principal's office. And, of course, the little boy that my mother had driven to school with me couldn't wait to get to the car and tell my mother. And my mother was like, you know, oh, you talk back to the teacher and you talk back to the principal and everything. And I said, no, I didn't talk back. I told them the truth. So as early as 4, I was questioning the scripts that were being given to me. We talked about, you know, religion, and I told you about the age of 12 or 13, I was questioning my family's religion, and I began to explore other religions. When we listen to other people, regardless of who those people are, we always have to understand that their opinion is their opinion. Their perception is their perception. There are a million perceptions, but only one truth. And when you're dealing with two people, usually the truth lies somewhere between what one person is saying and what the other person is saying. That's what mind mapping is all about. I mean, I'm thinking about changing the name so people understand a little better, but really, being able to go into yourself. I spend a lot of time in my own head. That's why on my website there's a graphic that says, if you see me talking to myself, I said, don't be alarmed, I'm getting expert advice. I am. I'm giving myself expert advice, because even Aristotle Onassis could never have afforded the amount of therapy that I've done on myself. So, again, we talk to ourselves, we tell ourselves, we judge ourselves, and then we feel bad about it. We're the victim, and so we feel guilty. And we feel like, well, we shouldn't have done that because we were told not to, or we were told that we should do it. And so the word enters our mind, and it changes a belief system for better or for worse. Like, you might believe you're stupid, and you've believed it as long as you can remember. Now, disagreement can be very tricky, causing you to do a lot of things just to ensure that you are stupid. You may do something and think to yourself, I wish I was smart, but I must be stupid or I wouldn't have done that. The mind goes in hundreds of different directions, and we could spend days getting hooked on just that one belief in our own stupidity. Then one day, someone comes along and hooks your attention and using the word lets you know you're not stupid. You believe them. And you make a new agreement. As a result, you no longer feel or act stupid. A whole spell is broken just by the power of the word. Conversely, if you believe that you're stupid and someone hooks your attention and says, yeah, you really are the most stupid person I have ever met, the agreement will be reinforced and it becomes stronger. The word impeccability means without sin. Impeccable comes from Latin, peccatus, which means sin. The im in impeccable means without. So impeccable means without sin. Religions talk about sin and sinners, but let's understand what it really means to sin. Okay? A sin is anything that you do which goes against yourself. Everything you feel or believe or say that goes against yourself is a sin. You go against yourself when you judge or blame yourself for things. Being without sin is exactly the opposite. Being impeccable is not going against yourself. When you are impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you don't judge and blame yourself. And this is what people need to learn. If you are having problems with, whether it be work, family, friends, whatever, if you're having problems with the communication in your life, it's because you're not speaking the same language. What you are saying is not what the people are hearing. And sometimes you need a third person to be able to listen to what you're saying. Like I tell people all the time, I go, I have no horse in this race. I said, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other what you decide. I said, as long as you understand that with every choice comes a consequence. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, I've got enough to do to tell myself what to do. So, again, you know, you really need to start looking at how you're talking to yourself. Sin begins when you reject yourself. Self-rejection is the biggest sin that you can commit. In religious terms, self-rejection is a mortal sin which leads to death. Impeccability, on the other hand, well, that just leads to life. Being impeccable with your word means that you don't use your word against yourself. You know, in this day and age, I had this conversation with my neighbor the other day, because younger people were arguing and everything, and I looked at her and I said, do you remember how many stupid arguments you had? I said, when we were like in our 20s and 30s and everything, she says, oh, yeah. You know, she goes, sometimes it was all the stupidest thing. I said, I know. I know. I said, it's a shame that wisdom comes, you know, so far down. I said, I wish I could go back, just like everybody else. I wish I could go back, you know, to the age some of my clients are and know what I know now and do my life differently now. When I say that, a lot of people go, well, you wouldn't be the person that you are today. How do I know that? How do I know that? Maybe I was always meant to be this person. Although I do have to say I am a wanderer. I always have been. I'm City Irish. And sometimes I go down the paths in my mind just because something interests me. It happened to me the other day. I was watching television. I was watching Dr. Phil. And he had Steve Harvey on there, and Steve Harvey was talking about his book. And I found it fascinating, and so I immediately, when I was on my computer, went to eBay and ordered the book. That's me. You know, I tried to kill someone today. You know, I believe in reincarnation. I believe, this is what I believe. I believe that I know that everything is energy. Everything is energy. Even wood is energy. It's at a certain density. Everything has its own density. So you're looking at energy. As humans on this planet, you were given a human body. And for the lifetime that you are on this planet, how you take care of your human body and what you do with your human body is going to have an effect on how long that body is going to function for you. Everybody is in agreement that Jesus was a man, Jesus walked, Jesus preached, Jesus was an avatar, but Jesus was human, and his human form died on the cross. That's where religions begin to split up, because if you're Christian, you believe in heaven. If you're something else, you believe in reincarnation. It doesn't matter, but the same thing happens. The human body fails. We only get one in each lifetime. I have a theory. I try to learn everything I can in this lifetime because I'm hoping that in my next lifetime, I won't be as stupid as I was in this one. And there I go. I don't usually judge myself, but I just did it. I just sat there and said, I have done some stupid things in my life. But I'll tell you something about life, and I tell everybody this. We make the best decisions that we can at any given time with the best information that we've been given. So there's no point in judging what we've done in the past. People talk all the time about living in the now. The moment that you say you're living in the now, you're already living in the past, because now is like a millisecond. And once that millisecond has passed, that's now past. You can't change it. You can't change anything. So we have to know how to use our words. Our words create magic. My words are magic. I can create magic for people. People say, well, you know, can you do magic? And I say, yes. I said, but not the way you think. I said, I can do magic with my words. I can understand. And because I'm an empath, I can feel things. And I can just tell you what I feel or what I see or what I observe, and you can take what you want from it. My wisdom is free. It's up to you to take advantage of it. We can't use the word to spread our own personal poison, to express anger, jealousy, envy, hate. The word is pure magic, the most powerful gift we have as humans. If we use it against ourselves, we plan revenge, we create chaos. We use the word to create hate between different races, between different people, between families, between nations. We misuse the word so often, and this misuse is how we create and perpetrate the dream of hell. Okay? We pull each other down by misusing the word. We pull each other down, and in states of fear and doubt. I want all of you to stop and think for a minute. When is the last time you were a negative wizard to someone? I always tell people, you know, whenever somebody, somebody that I know, comes up and they're pregnant, and oh my God, all the women that I know can't wait to tell them their horror stories about childbirth. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's like you don't really need to tell them that. You know, they're going to experience for themselves. You know, they don't need to hear all your horror stories and everything. But it's a human being natural to want to share the word. We just need to understand the power of our words and the influence that our words have on other people. We can make things happen. We can make things not happen. Whenever we hear an opinion and we believe it, we make an agreement. And it becomes part of our belief system. We live in a dream of our own creation. There is a personal dream, which is your life. There's a communal dream, which is the area in which you're brought up. There is a social dream, like a national, international, universal dream. But all of those dreams are made up of people's perceptions. There was a woman, and she was very intelligent. She had a really good heart and everything. She had a daughter she really, really cared for. She adored her, actually. And one night she came home. She was tired. I mean, we've all experienced it. We come home and our kids are there, like, what's for dinner? I said, do you think I could put my stuff down first? My children told me at one time that it was my job to cook dinner for them. And I said, I want to see that contract, because I don't remember signing a contract saying that I was going to cook. And they just like looked at me and go, but you're the mom. I go, well, I know. Where does it say the mom has to cook? Once again, we create. So she had a terrible headache. She wanted peace and quiet. Her daughter was like jumping around and singing and all that other stuff. And the daughter didn't know how her mother felt that day. She was in her own little world. And she was jumping and singing louder and louder, expressing her joy and her love. And it made her mother's headache worse. And at a certain point, her mother lost control and looked at her beautiful little girl that she adored so much, and she said, shut up, you have an ugly voice. Can you just shut up? The truth is that it's not that the little girl's voice was ugly. But the little girl believed her mother, and in that moment, she made an agreement with herself. After that, she didn't sing anymore because she believed her voice was ugly and would bother anyone who heard it. She became shy, and if she was asked to sing, she refused. Everything in the little girl changed because of this new agreement. She believed that she had to repress her emotions in order to be accepted and loved. Again, whenever we hear an opinion and believe it, we make an agreement. And that becomes a part of their belief, our belief system. How many times do we do this? You know, like especially with our own children. We give them those types of opinions, and our children carry that black magic for years. People who love us do black magic on us, but they don't know what they do. That's why we must forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Another example, you awake in the morning and you're feeling really happy. You know, it's one of those days, you feel pretty good, you're feeling wonderful. You know, you might stay in front of the mirror for a while, play with, I'm sure you men don't all play with your makeup, but women seem to play with makeup, or men sit there and play with their goatees or beards or whatever. And then you hook up with one of your best friends and they say something to you like, what happened to you? You look so ugly. Look at that dress you're wearing. You look ridiculous. That's it. That's enough to put you all the way down into the dream of hell. Maybe the person said it to hurt you. Maybe it was just her opinion. But if you accept the opinion, it becomes an agreement. And you put all your power into that opinion. These types of spells are difficult to break. The only thing that can break a spell is to make a new agreement based on truth. The truth is the most important thing about being impeccable with your word. So only the truth will set us free. Very often people, because I'm much different than I was when I was younger, I've certainly always struggled against domestication, but I used to spend more time arguing about things that just really, that nowadays I sit and I look at it and I go, is it worth the energy? How much energy am I going to spend on this? And do I hope to get something out of it at the end? And most of the time I go, I'm not going to change anything in that person's opinion. And, I don't really care. So I just let it go. That's another agreement, but we'll get to that. Sometimes you gossip. Everybody says, no, I don't. I don't gossip. Everybody gossips. I'm sorry. I gossip. I don't mean to gossip. I don't intentionally gossip. But if I retell something to someone, that's gossip. Okay? And misery likes company, and people who are suffering in hell don't want to be all alone. Because we like to see other people feel as bad as we do. Gossip can be compared to a computer virus. You know, it's something that's in you that imprints in you with the word and the emotional code the person had when they were saying it. But what you are not aware of is their motivation in telling you. And again, this is a part of your evolution. One little piece of misinformation can break down communication between people. causing each person it touches to become infected and contagious to others. Imagine that every single time others gossip to you, they inserted a computer virus in your head, in your mind, causing you to think a little less clearly every time. I don't think they have IT people to clean out your brain, but they do have people like me and other spiritual experts who can sit down and can say, okay, what's your question? What is it that you're, you know, we all have questions. We all look to someone for guidance in, you know, we don't know everything. No one knows everything. And I'm not going to go religious on that. I'm just talking about, you know, no human being knows everything. Okay. We lie to ourselves and we say that, you know, well, we deserve it because we made that mistake 2 years ago and they're reminding us, oh, yeah, you made that mistake and, you know, you're a bad person. Okay, again, we're the only animals on the face of the earth that are punished over and over, and we punish each other over and over, and we punish ourselves over and over and over again for the same mistake. That is a part of the Four Agreements. It's part of the domestication. Negative wizards, you need to put them outside of your environment. You know, you're never going to get away from negative wizards. They're all over the place. I mean, you know, right now I want to focus on the Four Agreements, but we are going to talk about, you know, body image and body shape, body dysmorphic disorder, anorexia, bulimia, how people view themselves. And you see, the thing is, and I have treated anorexics, and their families cannot understand that when they look in the mirror, they don't see the same thing that other people see. They see that they look fat, and it doesn't matter how many people tell them that it's not, that they're not, and, you know, that that's poison. I mean, you want to talk to someone who has a problem like that and explain to them nutritionally what they're doing to their body, the only human body that they're going to get in this lifetime. And if they wanted to carry them, you know, through their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, you know, you have to take care not only of yourself physically, but you need to take care of yourself emotionally. You need to take emotional poison and emotional pain out of your daily life. You need to understand that your opinion is nothing but your point of view. It's not necessarily true. Your opinion comes from your beliefs, your own ego, and your own dream. We spread the poison to other people when we tell them our beliefs, our dream, and everything else. So if you want to avoid feeling, and I know a lot of people, they have come to me and they say, I feel like I've been cursed. And I say, why do you feel that way? And they say, well, because no matter what I do, I can't seem to make things come out the way I want them to. And I always tell people, what someone else does has absolutely nothing to do with you. You don't make them do it. You can't stop them from doing it. You can only react about how your level of self-acceptance. And this week, until we meet again next week, I want you to focus on that. What is your level of self-acceptance? Do you accept yourself? Do you have any illusions or delusions about yourself? Jim, one thing I can say is that I've been through enough in my life that I don't have any illusions or delusions about myself anymore. I did, and I had the drama that came with it. And when I do a show on 911 relationship rescue, we'll talk about that. But for the time being, you know, I just want you to understand that if you can be impeccable with your word, and impeccable means true, it's your integrity. I always tell everybody, I said, the one thing that no one can take from you, that only you can give away, is your integrity. No one can take it from you, but you can give it away. And you give it away. There's not one child that I've worked with in the last 20 years that if you ask them about the boy who cried wolf, that they couldn't tell you that whole story from start to finish. Because I would tell them that all the time, and I would say, do you understand that if you lie and get caught, then people will not believe, and someday the time will come when you are going to want very badly to be believed, but because you have spent so much time lying and being caught lying, people can no longer trust in your word. So, again, no one can take your integrity from you. You can give it away. And so, for this week, until we meet again, and we go with, I love the next agreement. It's one of my favorites. But we're going to focus this week. Say only what you mean. Avoid using your words against yourself. That means that you can't get up in the morning, put something on, and go, oh, God, this makes me look bad. I'm not going to wear this today. No, you know what? You bought it. You liked it. You've worn it before. Wear it again. That's just your opinion. Okay? Don't let those things ruin your forward movement, your growth, your evolution, because that's the most important thing, is that you evolve and that you become more comfortable with yourself, because you came into this world alone and you will leave this world alone. So you have to make the best of the tools that are given to you. Don't gossip about others. You know, use the power of your word to create truth and love and helping people to understand that what they're telling themselves may not be the truth. Again, if you have any questions, if you would like a free reading, the first 15 minutes are free. You can go to my website, either on Spiritual Guidance Network or on my website, mia@outofthisangledweb.com. And I will try. I say I'm always working on my website. You know, it's why I can't have a web designer, because I'm always changing something. And that's okay, you know, because that's me. I am absolutely a graphic junkie. I love them. I collect them. I have thousands. And I use them, and I interchange them in my website and in my newsletters. But for this week, first agreement, be true to your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Don't bring up the past. Not for yourself and not for anybody else. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to be told how... If you go on my website and you go on 911 Relationship Rescue, you'll see a little graphic there, and it says, of course I know how stupid I am. You've met my ex. Isn't that what I've been saying all along? So, have a blessed week. And think before you speak. we'll get back together again next week and we'll go on to the second agreement. And that is, don't take anything personally. I'm going to say goodnight. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.